I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. If you go to 39, it's going to be a whole different sermon. So let's start at 29. Over the past few years, I've preached a few sermons on forgiveness. And honestly, if I'm being candid and if I'm being truthful and vulnerable, I think I need to hear a few more messages on this. Because, friends, forgiveness is hard. And if you don't think it's hard, then I want to meet you and I want to become your best friend so that you can show me how easy forgiveness is. It is. For those of you who know me well enough, you know that unless something off in my life is dealt with right away, I'm going to lose sleep, I'm going to struggle, I'm going to struggle with focus, and there have been even times in which I've kind of moved into a depression. I will lose sleep when relationships are not right. I lose sleep when I feel like there's something off between me and others. I don't like it when things are off in my relational circles. And this happens in various areas of my life, but the one place that I get caught the most, the one place that I have found the largest struggle, is when I am at odds with a brother or a sister in Christ. When I feel wronged, I allow this kind of frustration to boil up within me, and I can't even be in the same room with them most of the time. So, I mean, I have to put on this kind of facade to think, okay, I can do this just for this next 10 minutes, right? Most of the time, I work hard at resolving issues quickly. I believe in keeping short accounts. I can let go and I can move and I can build those relationships back. However, there are times in which I've tried to confront, tried to forgive, yet the other person didn't want to hear it. They didn't even want to receive it. Even though I tried to do it in the most loving way that I possibly could, when I'm not able to have that conversation, forgiving them becomes a stumbling block for me, because in my humanity, if I'm able to forgive somebody, I want to know that they did something wrong, right? Perhaps I'm the only one who struggles with this. I'm all alone on this island, but my guess is other people might feel the same way. What I have come to notice, though, over the last few years is that forgiveness doesn't necessarily operate like that. See, forgiveness is a tricky thing. It goes against the very nature of our earthly understanding of getting somebody back or getting even with somebody. See, if you've known God for any length of time, you know that God's understandings are countercultural to the ways of the world. Thus, forgiveness isn't something that we hold back from one another, that we only use when we feel like it, when we feel we've been violated. Forgiveness is something that we are to give freely, because forgiveness is something that we have received. And so as we continue this one another series, we're going to dive into the scripture and learn more about this very important theological understanding of forgiveness and walking with one another. Listen to the words from Paul to the Ephesians, again, chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Wait a second. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Now, be honest. How many of you have let some unwholesome talk come out of your mouths here recently, right? It goes on to say, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And we're going to take a moment here to think about this. As we look at those words, it's vital to see this in the context of this passage. And I believe context speaks of who we are as believers. In fact, how we are to treat one another in the world, but also how we are to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's about how we speak to one another in community. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that right? I mean, so what Paul's encouraging us to do here is to be a people that build up others according to their needs, and that everything that we would say would be beneficial for their growth in Christ. Nothing should come out of our mouths that would tear each other down, that would hinder our growth and discipleship, or that would break a person. All the things we are to say are meant to encourage, to support, and to love. And even tough love, done in a loving manner, can build a person up. And this verse is something that we need to firmly grasp in our heart, so that when we're speaking to others, we are aware of how we are treating a brother or a sister in Christ. Now, I believe and I pray that I live a godly life and that my heart is one that seeks after the heart of God. But friends, there are just times that I cannot say something good about a person or a situation. If I'm honest, the reasons vary as to why I can't say something nice. It's either that I have been wounded so deeply and I just can't do anything, or I have seen ignorance so prevalent in a person's spirit, or I have seen grown disciples not acting like Jesus at all, and I get upset. And there are even times when I may say something I should not say, whether out of frustration or being dumbfounded by the actions of others. And my guess, no one out there struggles with doing this, right? And perhaps I'm by myself, but just in case you might have said something that you should not have said, and perhaps you said something that wounded somebody else, I believe that Paul challenges me, and I believe that Paul challenges you to not say anything unwholesome. Brian, don't say anything unwholesome. Don't say anything, Brian, that will tear a person down. Don't say anything that would hurt the body of Christ. Speak truth. Speak hope. As others have need, and in doing so, the body will benefit. So the many times that my humanity wishes to say something, it's the Spirit that shuts me up and says, brother, speak truth, but speak health instead. The scripture continues to say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were asked, whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. The word grieve here means sorrow, or to make sorrow, or to sad. It means to cause sorrow. So the Spirit, friends, I believe is light for us in a couple of different ways. It exposes the darkness, right? It illuminates the Word of God, and it shows us Jesus. Or to put another way, this divine light in our lives, the Holy Spirit, reveals darkness, reveals truth, and reveals glory. In this passage, we come to understand that grieving the Holy Spirit comes in a couple of different forms. See, when we grieve the Holy Spirit is when we close our eyes to the light or disparage what we are meant to see, right? We are guilty or resisting or quenching or grieving the Spirit. Now, there may be slight nuances to those words, right? Resisting or quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. But they all speak in terms of a basic reality. We refuse to see and savor what the Spirit is meant to show us. Specifically here in these verses, we grieve the Spirit when we ignore the attitude of Christ by participating in unwholesome talk about others. And when we do not build up the body of Christ, rather tear it down, either from the inside or outside. Friends, I've probably grieved the Holy Spirit. Our scripture continues by sharing that we are to get rid of all bitterness. All bitterness, right? Rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. There it is, right? Now, I don't know about you, are you kind of tracking with Paul this morning? This scripture is one of the clearest understandings of how we are to treat one another in Christ. Paul is speaking to the believers in Ephesus and saying that this is how you are to act as Christ followers to one another, right? Do not let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, for when you do, you grieve the Holy Spirit. But then see, Paul then gives the reason why we are speaking unwholesomely. He gives us the knowledge of what we're to do with that. What causes us to speak unwholesomely? It's bitterness. It's rage. It's anger. It's brawling. It's slander. It's malice. I mean, it's all of those things. And those are some rough words, right? But it's so true. When we're struggling with another person, there's something going on within us, if we're really honest, right? We are the ones who are upset. We are the ones who are bitter. We are the ones who are resentful. And that causes us to grieve the Holy Spirit by saying things about them that would hurt them, break them, or demonstrate a hardened heart. But the last verse where we're going to land today, it kind of predicates everything that we just heard. Usually Paul, like Jesus, they kind of share all this stuff, but then at the very end, they make this amazing point at the very end, and it makes it all connect. The verse says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Do you see the flow? I don't know. I love this. I absolutely, it's amazing. Look at it with me. If we are kind to one another, if we are compassionate to one another, if we forgive one another in Christ just as God has forgiven us, we should have no bitterness or anger or malice or rage or brawling, because when we do not have those things, we should not be saying unwholesome things about others. And if we're speaking life and truth into lies of others, then we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We lift up the Holy Spirit. Friends, it all starts with being kind and compassionate and forgiving one another just as Christ has forgiven us. It's really that simple. Forgiveness is at the core of kindness and compassion. Forgiveness involves self-sacrifice. In order to forgive others, we must surrender our desire for revenge and retribution. When we offer the offender free grace, just as God has for us, grace forgives us, and there is no, absolutely no excuse. We receive it from God, and we offer it to others. The struggle is many people struggle with forgiveness, including myself. And so for a moment here, we're going to talk about what forgiveness is not. First of all, forgiveness isn't forgetting, right? Say that out loud. Forgiveness isn't forgetting, right? It's not amnesia. People claim, oh, I forgive and forget. That is, I can't forgive that at all. They don't forgive and forget. And then one of the things that I often say is don't forget what has happened. Remember that hurt. But see, you can also remember the healing and remember the forgiveness. And remembering doesn't mean you're going to constantly be bringing up the past. The second one, forgiveness isn't pretending. Say that to yourself. Forgiveness isn't pretending. We don't act like the past doesn't exist or that the hurt didn't occur. We no longer use those past hurts as a weapon. The past is a dead issue. We can't ignore the hurt that has occurred. We cannot change the past. Wishing that it never happened won't make it all go away. When we forgive, we don't change the past, but we certainly change the future, right? Number three. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Say that. Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Forgiveness, friends, is an intentional action. It has nothing to do with how we feel. When people say, I can't forgive, what they really are saying is, I won't forgive. Forgiveness is a clear choice. It is a conscious decision. We feel hurt, betrayed, and angry, yet we still forgive. The next one. Forgiveness isn't conditional. Say that. Forgiveness isn't conditional. We don't demand change before we forgive. We shouldn't demand proof that those who hurt us are truly sorrowful. That isn't our job. The next one. Forgiveness isn't partial. Say that. Forgiveness isn't partial. Jewish tradition said one had to forgive somebody three times, right? And Peter thought he was kind of magnanimous by saying that you should forgive somebody seven times. That was pretty heavy, right? But Jesus even goes farther. He said 70 times seven times. He's like, I got you one, Peter. 70 times seven. He not only emphasized us to forgive infinitely by using kind of these numbers 7 and 10. They're numbers of perfection and completion. And he says that we're to forgive completely. So infinitely and completely is what he says. And he goes on to tell this parable, right, about how we've been forgiven by our master and that we should forgive others. And he says to the servant in this parable that was held captive because of his unforgiveness, and he concludes by saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. See, it's important to know the Hebrew thought process, right? The heart wasn't the center of emotions. It was the center of their intellect. The bowels was what was considered the heart of emotion. You know that phrase, I got a gut feeling, right? And so to your heart, Jesus was teaching that forgiveness is a choice, that Jesus lived a life of forgiveness. And it's important to look at how we forgive and that it isn't something that can just be done halfway. What he meant is there is no limit to the pardon. Forgiving means we cancel a debt completely. Forgiveness isn't a one-time event. Say that out. Forgiveness isn't a one-time event. There is no instant forgiveness. And that true forgiveness, friends, it takes a lot of effort. It's a lengthy process of steady growth as a relationship is gradually restored. Trust isn't rebuilt overnight. We forgive one memory at a time, one moment at a time. The goal of forgiveness is always restoration. It is always reconciliation. Forgiveness isn't condoning wrong. Right? Say that to yourself. Forgiveness isn't condoning wrong. By forgiving, we're not saying that the action was okay, right? It's not. Nor does it let the wrong happen again. Forgiving doesn't mean turning the criminal loose. When people hurt us accidentally, right, we excuse them. But when they hurt us intentionally, we do have to forgive. But we don't minimize what has been done to us. Forgiveness isn't optional. Say that. Forgiveness isn't optional. If we truly want to heal, right? The British general, Oglethorpe, commented to John Wesley one time. He said, "Preacher, I never forgive." And Wesley replied, "Sir, I hope you never sin," right? Forgiveness is a bridge that we don't want to destroy because it's one way that we might need ourselves as we're walking through this life. It's risky business praying the Lord's Prayer, right? "Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Finally, forgiveness isn't easy. Say that. Forgiveness isn't easy. What we forgive too quickly or too freely often does not stay forgiven. Forgiveness is not cheap or casual. It's expensive. In fact, it cost Jesus his life. Jesus buries our brokenness. He buries our sin. And it takes us a long time to let go of that forgiveness or let go of those issues. Forgiveness is a lot of things, right? It's important to understand our connection to forgiveness because it's in forgiveness, friends, that I believe that we find true hope and true joy and true peace in our lives. As someone who has been wounded a lot in my life and probably has wounded significant others, forgiveness is one of the most difficult things that we can understand. However, in understanding it, we're to realize that the God who forgave us through Christ is calling us to release the bondage of others that we ourselves were once in. Forgiveness is about recognizing hurt. You admit it. You face it, right? I mean, you cannot get over it until you admit it. I have been wronged. It hurt. And you have some options about what to do with that hurt, right? You can repress it, pretending it didn't happen. You can suppress it, saying that it's no big deal or big deal. Or you can express it, right? I have been hurt. It's a great phrase, I mean, that I use often. Sometimes you just have to say it out loud in your room. Go in your closet, scream it out. I've been hurt, God. I'm wounded, God. I'm broken, God. There is no closure without disclosure. Woo, I like that. Did you get that, friends? There is no closure without disclosure. Forgiveness requires recognition that we have been wronged in some way. Forgiveness, though, is also about release. Forgiveness is about letting go of a debt that somebody owes me, and not because they asked to or deserve to be forgiven. We forgive because God has extended that forgiveness to us. Forgiveness is about rest. You give a person or persons completely over to God. Do not insist on getting even, Romans 12 says. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it, right? You rest in God. You trust God with it, and God will give you a peace that passes understanding. This requires daily choices to forgive, and I reaffirm that choice again and again and again until I find that hurt and that pain replaced with the peace of God. How do you know when you've fully released somebody fully? I think you can probably know that is when you can think about that. And the weight of your hurt grows smaller and smaller. That's forgiving from your heart and from your gut. Forgiveness is refocusing on God's purpose for your life. It's a life beyond the hurt, friends. In fact, God can take your experience and use it to help others who have that same hurt. Forgiveness happens in your heart when you release another from the expectation to make things right the hurt that they caused you, and when you stop identifying that person as the one who hurt you. But I want to give you, I don't know, maybe this isn't the pastoral thing to do. I want to give you a selfish reason for to forgive. You'll feel better, right? When we free ourselves from being the offended one, we unlock the prison of bitterness in our life. The resentment that we carry will be a live coal in our hearts. And when we choose to not forgive, we will open up that wound time and time and time again. But when we forgive, wounds heal. There may be a scar, but the pain subsides. Unforgiveness depletes our strength and takes our energy away from building a better tomorrow. Forgiveness heals the hurts of the past. I want to just end with this one phrase, because it's a phrase that has really hit me this week. It's a word in Hebrew for forgiveness is salach, and it means to have anger in one's fist and release it, to relinquish it, to let go and remove it forever. To have anger in one's fist and then to release it and relinquish it and to let it go and to remove it forever. What a release that is, right? And so for a moment here this morning, I just want us to do something while you all are in your homes and for us here, we're going to close our fists really tight. And I'm just going to pray us out here. And I want you to keep your fists closed as tight as you possibly can. And as we pray, you will start to feel your knuckles hurting and you'll start to feel your arms tense. And at the very end of the prayer, I want you to open them up and release it and feel that relaxation and that restoration. Let's pray together. With fists closed, God, we have always tried to hold on to those things that we need to let go of. God, we hold on to control and we hold on to the unforgiveness of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we hold on to those things that that we feel that we need to walk with in our lives, because God, we play the victim or we play the one who's always oppressed. And so God, we hold on to these things so tightly, and we grab a hold of them and with fists clenched, and God, we just pray that as we move into a new season of life and a new season of hope, that we can find ways to release this. And God, part of that release is just letting go and giving it all to you, Lord God, and to open up our fists. But God, we just want to close them so tightly. We want to hold on to it so tightly. And so, God, help us find that way in which we can release the anger. We can relinquish it to you, and we can let it go, and we can remove it forever. And so God, for all of those who have wronged us, God, we pray over them, and we ask, Lord God, that you cover them with your love and with your peace. God, we forgive them, and we desire for them to be whole in you, Lord God, and we don't want to carry around that bitterness and that anger and that malice in our hearts, Lord God. And we want to just release that to you. But God, again, here we are with clenched fists wanting to hold on to those things. God, you are so amazing. And that you demonstrated to us what it means to release God, you gave your one and only Son for each and every one of us as an offering for our sins, that you forgave us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And in doing so, Lord God, you released all of the sin that we brought upon you, Lord God, that you released that and that you opened up your hand so freely so that we might have eternity with you, that we might have life in abundance with you, Lord God. But here we are still with fists clenched, not recognizing your holiness, God. But then there are moments of hope. And there are moments of peace in which we realize the hurt is a little less. We recognize that your presence is more and more each day. We begin to let go, to loosen up the fists of anger and of bitterness and of rage and of malice. And God, we start to sense the relief of our hands open. We start to sense, Lord God, why you call us to walk with arms open, with hands open to all, even those that we have struggled with, even those that we have been wounded by. We open up our hands. We thank you, Lord God, for demonstrating this love through Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for demonstrating the forgiveness through your Son, Jesus. And God, may we take that into our hearts. May we take it into our guts. And may we pour out, may we radiate forgiveness to one another. God, not only one another across this world or in our communities, but God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, may we radiate forgiveness. God, may we never get to the point where our fists are so clenched that we forget to see the healing power of your Son, Jesus. So God, walk with us now. Challenge us now. May we forgive one another. For we pray these things and we name them in the name of the one whose grace is amazing, who breaks our chains, Jesus the Christ. And all people said, Amen.